Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 41, recorded December 21st, 2010.
Greetings, everyone.
And Merry Christmas, or Happy Holidays, or take your pick.
Yeah.
Happy Solstice.
There you go. It's the solstice today. That's true.
I think it was yesterday they had the lunar eclipse
too. That's true. But we're close.
Anyway. It's close enough. First of all, you have to excuse our voices because we both have colds again.
Yes, and I had laryngitis, and so I'm lucky I can even talk.
Yes, which is why we didn't, you know, it's been a while. So
we would have come in last week, but yeah, it didn't work.
But here we are now.
it's time for...
Fishy updates!
Okay, some interesting things that have happened. I can tell which fish are the celestial pearl danios and which fish are the dwarf neon rainbows as far as the fry go that were I was raising in the same tank. I got 9 celestial pearl danios. They're now distinguishable as the species. Their spots began to show up a few days ago. So I moved them in with the adults and they're doing fine there. And so I feel vindicated. I got 9 fry out of it. It's a lot better than 5. It's almost double. So they're doing well, growing fast, eating the golden pearls and starting on grindle worms and eating the mica worms and the banana worms and walter worms still. Growing quickly. And I have about 15 or more of the dwarf neon rainbow fry in the fry tank. They're much smaller than the CPDs. The CPDs seem to grow quite a bit faster. But they're growing too. And I'm trying to feed them frequently. It's hard to keep up with it. But they're also starting to take some of the small-sized golden pearls, so they'll probably grow faster soon, I hope. And I'm trying to keep up with the water changes, and that's helping.
Okay. Do you want to give us an update on the Everclean Aqua filter that we're trying out?
Yeah. The official review's not out yet, but preliminary results. We've had it running, what, maybe 3 weeks now? How long it's been? Something like that. And it really is a good filter at removing detritus from the tank. It really does that, and it does it well. There's barely any at the bottom. It really sucks that out, and you take the... It's really just as easy as it says it is to remove. You just unplug the filter, and you take off the top, which acts as a tray, and put the filter box in there, take it over the sink, and rinse it off under high current. Boom, you're done. Put it back. Doesn't matter if you rinse it in tap water because that part's not part of the biological filtration. That's the beauty of it. So it really is that easy. So you can change the or clean the filter out very often, and it keeps the detritus out of the tank. I found all kinds of things in there.
Fishing boats.
I found a couple of fish scales. I found goldfish eggs. Found bits of plants, and you know, it just ends up in there. It's good. It's good stuff. Now, as far as cons go, I'm not going to do the full review yet because I want to really have experienced the filter long enough to be able to give you a decent one. But it really does what it purports to do, and that's the pro, the biggest pro. It does what it's supposed to do. Another good pro is that it's really easy to take care of in terms of maintenance. The filter is easy to work with. A couple of cons: it takes a while to set up. It's not a plug and play filter like the hang on the back filters are. But I don't see that as a serious thing because you're going to save time later. And then it's easier to set up in a dry tank. I set it up in a tank with fish, and I would say I'd rather have done it in a tank that did not have fish in it. Okay, so what we decided to do is give you the coupon code. And this is just for our listeners right now. If you check the website, it's not going to be up yet. But for you, our listeners, if you want to get one of these filters... You can, and you might want to wait until the review has passed, you know, completely. But if you're really interested, you've looked at the website, and you think this is something you want to do, then here's the coupon code. It is E as in elephant, C as in
cat. Fish. And just cat, though, no F. Sorry, that was confusing.
Right. So EC1000, that's 3 zeros, and then a 2. That's EC1000 2. That'll give you $10 off.
It's for $10 off the filter.
$10 off any of the filter systems available at evercleanaqua.com. One thing I should tell you. Joe has offered to help support Aquarimax through this, so he will send us a finder's fee or whatever you want to call it if this goes through, just to let you know. I want to make sure that's out in the open. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you feel like you're ready, you want to do it, go ahead. And if you'd rather wait to decide if that might be something you want until after the review comes out, then that's fine, too. And if you don't even care and you don't even want to worry about it, that's fine, too. But there you go.
And we should be also clear that Finder Sphere, no, we wouldn't tell you that you should use it if we didn't think you should, so.
Right. Well, yeah, and don't get it if you don't know, you know, what the system would be good for. Like, so far, I can
say
this system is good for goldfish, it's good for big cichlids and things like that, it's good for a lot of community tanks. Wouldn't be good for raising small fry in, because they would get sucked up, for example. So, if you're doing things with really small fry, things like that, or you have a planted tank with nutrient-enriched substrate, it's not going to work. This kind of thing, this will probably not
work. Which I imagine we'll go over more of that stuff when we do the big official review.
Right.
So, if in doubt, wait.
Yes.
But those of you who want to go get it now, that is the coupon code that you can use.
Yeah, that's basically all for that.
Okay, we are going to talk about trapping fish. And why do we want to trap fish? Why don't we want to just catch them in a net?
Well, there's quite a few reasons. We're not going to go over all of them today because there are a lot of them. But just to give you a few, one is because you can avoid disturbance to your aquascape. Now, to some of you, that might be more important than others, and it might be more important in some tanks than others. If you have a really fantastically aquascaped tank and you need to catch, you know, 7 Corydoras out of it, then that would be a real pain.
You don't want to rip everything out to find them where they're hiding.
Right. If it's just a tank that is bare bottom and you're just, you know, holding some fish in or something, it's not that big of a deal. But if it's aquascaped, that could be a problem. Another issue is to avoid the fear substance. A lot of fish release fear substance when they're stressed or frightened, and that can upset all the other fish in the tank, and they all go nuts and they hide.
Basically what? They send out like little hormones or chemicals in the
water
to each other?
Little pheromones, yeah.
They go, ah, something's trying to catch me! It's going to catch you too! Run away! Be afraid! Run for the hills!
And so they're 10 times more flighty and jumpy than they would be otherwise, and it's harder to catch them. You can avoid that to a large extent if you use a trap. And another one, and one of my favorites, is you can catch fish that are difficult to catch for whatever reason. Some fish are just harder to catch than others. For example, if you think of 3 different ages of bristlenose plecos, newly hatched, juveniles that are about 1 to 3 inches long, maybe 1 to 2 inches long, and then adult bristlenoses, okay? Newly hatched ones are really hard to catch because they're so flat and tiny. Scooping up with a net is really tricky.
Do they just get kind of squished in the net? Or you
not so much that they get squished. You can't even scoop them up against the glass because you can't put the net flesh against the glass.
Uh-huh.
Very easily, and even if you can, they're just sticking there. They're hard to get off. I mean, you can do it. I've done it. I've caught dozens and dozens of baby plecos with a net. You can do it.
But it's not very fun.
It's not that fun, and it's not that easy. Juveniles aren't so bad once they've reached a certain size, but adult bristlenose are a huge pain to catch with a net for a different reason. I mean, they are better at hiding than most fish, and they still stick to the glass, and they're still, you know, they're going to go right behind your heater, things like that. But the worst thing is, if you've never dealt with them, then you may not know that they have these bony structures called odontodes that come out of their cheeks.
The bristles?
Well, the bristles that give them their name are the ones that are on their nose. Okay. That rust from just those, you know, the beard.
So those aren't, like, so stiff and
those
pokey?
Those aren't stiff. They're not problematic when you're trying to catch them. But the odontodes, which come out of their cheeks, they're kind of in sheaths or pouches on their cheeks. Mm-hmm. When they get angry, or when they get afraid, or when they come out of the water, you pull them out of the water, they stick out, and they're like teeny little maces with spiked
Ouch.
Maces that come out of the side of their face. They're really sharp, and the bigger the bristlenose, the bigger the spikes. On males, they're especially big. But they'll get caught in a net, and they're hooked at the end. They're barbed.
Oh, so it doesn't just pull right out of the net.
No.
It goes to the net. They get stuck like Velcro.
It's like super Velcro. And it's part of the fish, you know. And so
you
that's
can't very well just rip it off.
No, so catching a bristlenose with a net, I mean, sometimes, you know, you scoop them up with a net, and then you set them in the water, and they'll let go by retracting their odontodes. But if they don't, you're in big trouble. I had one that I had to clip out with scissors. I had to clip it out of the net, and of course the net was ruined after that.
Right.
That usually doesn't happen. Usually I can get them out. But I'd rather just avoid the whole net issue with an adult bristlenose.
It sounds like it's safer and less of a headache to just not have them in a net.
Yeah, and there are lots of fish that, for one reason or another, are just not good net candidates.
Would that be true? Would that be true for the... what did we have? The loaches.
Which ones?
Clown loaches. Didn't they have something spiky coming off their face?
Yes, they have these razor-sharp little blades they stick out of their cheeks, and they can cut you. It's like getting a paper cut.
You try to put your hand under the net, and they slice you.
It's like getting a paper cut, and you don't even know it's there, and then you look, and all of a sudden you're bleeding. They're so sharp, and things like that. So there are lots of fish. They just work better in a trap for various reasons. So...
okay.
And you just don't want to stress out the fish. Traps can stress fish out, but they're easier than, and sometimes less stressful than nets.
So how do we make the trap?
Well, there are a lot of fish traps out there. There are commercial fish traps you can get. Usually they're like acrylic boxes, mm-hmm. where you have some sort of trap door, one-way door, or something like that in them. Things like that, but we're going to focus on do-it-yourself ones because...
It's cheaper!
Yeah, exactly, it's cheaper. And often easier to get a hold of, because not all pet stores you can walk in and say, I'm looking for a fish trap. You know, so, this is how you make a plastic bottle trap. So, first of all, you got to get a water bottle, or you can use another kind of plastic bottle, as long as it's well-rinsed. Like, you don't want to use a bottle that had soda in it if it's still
sticky
and sugary, but you can rinse it out thoroughly and it'd be fine.
Any kind of plastic bottle, depending on the size of the fish that you're trying to catch.
Yes, and of course, the mouth of the bottle should be at least wide enough for the fish to go in. It can be a lot wider, and then you can modify it later, or it can be just a little bit wider, but it needs to be at least big enough for the fish to pass through, although some versions will cut off the actual bottleneck too, so
okay.
You can look at that. But we have some that are about 6 or 7 ounces. Those were the bottles that I used. I have 3 traps currently, and then I have one that's a 2-quart bottle for bigger fish, and I do have some fish that I can't catch that are too big to catch with those, but I just catch those fish with nets. I could eventually make a bottle trap, I may, but I haven't had a need to because they're big, fat, chubby goldfish.
They don't have any spines.
Pretty easy
they're
to catch.
They're teddy bears.
Pretty easy to catch, so I don't worry about it.
They come up to the top and say, pet me.
Yeah, so... Anyway, so choose your bottle, and it should be out of pretty flexible, soft plastic. Save the cap to the bottle. That can be useful. We'll talk about that later. And basically, you just cut off the funnel-shaped part of the top of the bottle, where it goes to meet the bottle and begins to be just a cylinder of uniform mm-hmm. dimensions. You cut that off, and a little bit more than that. So the funnel part plus a little bit more of the main body of the bottle, not too much more. If you cut off too much
like
of it...
Like an inch, or...?
Depends on the size of the bottle, but okay. Maybe half an inch to an inch, depending on the size of the bottle. If you cut off not enough, you might not get... it to fit back the way you want it to. If you cut off too much, then there's not going to be enough room at the end of the bottle for the fish to hang out in, which it's caught. So, not most of the bottle, just the funnel plus a little bit more of the body of the bottle. And then, once you've cut it, you invert it. You turn it around and stick it in. Just pressure fit it in there.
So the part that you would originally put your mouth on to drink, you turn that in so that it's facing into the rest of the bottle, the inside of the bottle.
Yes, and you
pressure
fit.
Facing the bottom of the bottle.
Facing the bottle and bottle, and make sure it pressure fits fairly well. There are other things you can do about it, but if it pressure fits, it should be fine to catch the fish. They're not going to be able to force their way out. And that is the easiest one to be able to open and close, so I just like to pressure fit them. I haven't had a problem with that. That is the basic trap, but there are some modifications that you can make and that I like to make in that. But I think we're going to have to wait till after the break to tell you about... modifications and optional ways to work on the trap. So, we'll be right back.
This isn't a commercial, because it's not trying to sell you anything.
It is, however, the part where we shamelessly encourage you to be a part of the Aquarimax audio show by calling and leaving a message any time of the day or night at 801-477-0629. If you don't want to actually talk, but you do have a comment or question, you can just send us an email to info@aquarimax.com. There. That wasn't so painful now, was it?
Okay, we're back, and we're going to tell you how to make some modifications to the trap.
Yay for modifications!
So one thing I like to do is use a drill and drill some small holes
just
in
like
the...
like a normal hand drill?
Yeah.
Electric drill.
Electric drill. I drill some small holes in the base of the bottle, the original base, the part you stand on the table with, you know, put it on the table with. I drill a couple of small holes in there.
Two or three.
Mm. And the reason why I do that is... partly so that you get more gas exchange inside there, more circulation inside there.
So when the fish is caught in that part, because that's where they will be, they can breathe.
They can breathe better. And another is because I think, excuse me, the smell of the bait travels a little bit better if you have some flow through, and that helps you to get some flow through. So I do that, and then I also drill a couple of holes in this side of the bottle, about in the middle.
Is that for the same reason?
Well, it does help with that.
Okay.
But I actually string some fishing line in there and in and out and make a big loop so that I can retrieve it. I keep that loop, the top of the loop, outside of the tank.
So it really is fishing line.
Yeah, it is. It's
fishing line that is actually functioning as fishing line.
Using for fishing, yeah. And then I usually put a float on it. Like I take a container lid from some old dechlorinator or something that's already gone. Drill a hole in it, and then thread that fishing line through it. So now I have this loop, and I have a handle, so it's easier to find the fishing line and have something to hold on to that you can rest on top of the tank while you're using the trap. When you're ready to pull the trap up, you just hold onto that little handle that you've made, and then slowly pull it up to the top of the water, and then you don't have to get your hands wet or anything like that.
Stuff all over.
So it's a lot. It's a nice bonus. A nice modification to the trap that I like to do. Once you have done that, those are the two main modifications that I do, except, well, I guess there's one more. One more is that, like I said, you save the cap. If you have the cap, you can drill a hole in the cap for the smallest size fish that you will plan on catching. And you keep that on there, except when you want to catch a bigger fish. So, if you
so
want to catch...
like an adjustable size trap.
Yeah, it's adjustable
that's
to the size of what you want to
catch.
That's a good idea! If you want to catch, for example, baby bristlenoses, but you don't want to catch their parents, you put the lid on, and you have a hole drilled in it that's small enough for the babies to get through, but not the adults. Then you'll only catch the adults. Then you'll only catch the babies, or other things that are sized similar to the babies. For example, when I put a trap in this 55 here, with the lid drilled, I can catch baby bristlenoses, but I also catch... Taiwan blue shrimp that are in there and red cherry shrimp that are in there because they're about the same size as the baby bristlenoses, so they can get through. But anyway, you can limit the size range of what you're catching if you keep that cap. So I recommend you do so. You can also use that as your float if you want to when you're not using it as, you can string it onto the fishing line when you're not using it that way, but then you have to untie the fishing line later, so.
Okay.
Whatever. Go ahead.
So once we have our trap with whatever modifications we're making made, what do we do with it?
Okay, well, you put some bait in. Algae wafers work best. Well, not best. They work well for a lot of different things. But you can use pelleted food. You can use, you know, fresh food, like with bristlenoses, something like a slice of zucchini is good.
So depending on the kind of fish that you want to catch, some kind of treat that
suitable
they like.
Bait. Yeah. Sinking is good. I've used floating, too. But I would not recommend using flake.
The holes, though.
Well, if it's pelleted, you know, a pellet will stick in there. Okay. But something like flake I don't think would work very well, and it'd probably just kind of dissolve after a while anyway. So I wouldn't recommend using flake food as a bait. But, you know, you have lots of options there. Pick your poison sort of thing. And then you just sink the trap in. Make sure that there aren't too many bubbles in there. And it's good to make sure that the funnel, at least I like to do this, I don't think it's necessary, but I like to do it. You make sure that the funnel is facing away from the flow so that the flow tends to go from
the flow
whatever
the
small amount of... the flow of the filter. So whatever small amount of flow is happening in the bottle, which is admittedly negligible, will be going through those little holes in the back, on the base of the bottle, towards the funnel and out the funnel.
So that's where they're going to smell it from, so they go to the right end to go in.
Yeah, and like I said, it's not necessary. I've set traps plenty of times when I don't do that, but sometimes I like to do that anyway. And it works either way, so maybe it doesn't even matter, but...
It's kind of fun, though.
It's kind of fun. And have a container to put the fish into after you trap them. It sounds silly to say, but you'll want to put them in something. And I like to have a breeding trap or one of those hanging specimen containers ready. It's nice to have, because when you think about it, if you have the holes drilled in the bottom, when you take it out, it's going to be dripping. So you'll want to be able to put them in something right away.
And the water will all flow out, and then they won't have any water left.
And it'll slowly flow out, but it will flow out, so that's something. You don't have to drill the holes. You can, and you don't have to, but whatever. If you have them there, you'll need a container to put them in immediately. So I like to have a specimen container, a breeding trap ready, depending on how soon I'm going to bag the fish. So it is a very effective trap. It, of course, depends on the species you're trying to trap, the bait you use, how hungry the fish are, things like that. But it really is nice to have, and they work pretty well.
Good. Are there any caveats or things we should watch out for when using the traps?
Yes. The main thing is check the trap often.
How often?
Well, I would say as often as possible and as often as is convenient, but I wouldn't leave a trap unbaited for most fish, at least. I mean, unwatched or unchecked on for more than 20, 30 minutes, ideally, because, several reasons. One is because the fish can get stressed in that trap if they're in there for too long, right. Of course, and they can get overcrowded.
If you catch more than you're planning on catching.
Yeah, or you just catch a large number of fish, and you can catch a large number of fish very fast. I've had a trap in 20 minutes catch, let's see, like 7 red cherry shrimp, 1 pygmy corydoras, and 1 bristlenose. And they're 20 minutes.
You're having a party.
And they're all in there. I come back after 20 minutes, they're all in there. So you can get crowded very fast. Guppies are really bad. They'll clog that thing, so be careful. Check it often. Some fish, in fact, like some anabantoids and other obligate air breathers, bettas and gouramis and stuff like that, can drown if they're in trap for too long. So don't, especially those kinds of fish, any kinds of fish that needs to breathe some atmospheric air periodically, make sure you check the trap often or you could lose your fish.
Okay.
And I think that's about it. So,
happy fish trapping!
Yeah, thank you for joining this week.
Have a lovely holiday.
And we'll catch you in a week or two. Yeah, and Merry Christmas and happy holidays, whatever holiday you happen to observe, or even if you don't observe any, whatever.
Merry Christmas from us, because that's what we do.
Yeah, so...
meant in the very friendliest of way.
Yeah, enjoy this time. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions that may be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.